Yeah, happy fucking happy hour. It's fucking Chez fucking Pazienza.
That's right.
My, Chris LaFoy's favorite podcast, Bob and Chez.
That's right.
My fucking reputation precedes me.
Are there any limits to the fuckings we can...
No, there are fucking not.
Well, I'm not going to fucking worry about it then.
This is Chris LaFoy's last fucking happy hour.
And you're celebrating by having lipstick on your teeth again.
I'm like a dirty French whore.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I've become like Grisabella from Cats, haven't I, since you've been working with me?
Giving hummers for free out in the alley.
Remember, I just went to meet Hillary, missing gels.
I would have enjoyed it more when I was like 14 and I saw it on Broadway.
He requested you, one of his personal favorites, for his very last happy hour with us.
Yeah, right? We'd love to have had Bob and Chez, but
Bob's too fancy up in San Francisco.
I know.
Bob said today on the show, he's like, how long before you guys start talking about me? My ears are going to be ringing.
Bob's drunk.
Right off the bat.
Well, as we recall from the last happy hour, you said he's a man desperately in need of a gay experience. As I recall, because he wears so much spandex, but he is a bicyclist.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I think Bob's head's getting smaller.
Is it?
Because he's like, he's very muscular.
He's very
now.
Tiny. Yeah.
He's tall.
Very, very
so
muscular.
He is tall
now.
And muscular, really.
Yeah, I think his it looks good shrinking. On him. It does. He's a big guy now.
He's really? Like one selfie away from doing a shirtless selfie.
It's like he is.
On Facebook
Michael
now.
And man.
In Beetlejuice.
And man.
His head gets really tight. Exactly. He's Beetlejuice.
His fans are going to, when that happens, there's going to be a lot of dust coming out of a lot of vaginas.
I bet.
Mm-hmm. Don't talk about my ex-wife like that.
Hey. Oop. What? All right.
So we
were saying, because Chris LaFoy is leaving to escape, getting up
at stupid o'clock.
At
2:30. You really had no idea I got up at 2:30?
What a heartless bitch I am. I'm like Kathy Lee. I'm like, I don't know. What time did the fucking 4-year-olds get here? Why are they so slow? Why aren't there more buttons on this blouse?
Hoda, where are you? Fix my blouse.
My little sweatshop down here. But you were saying you worked overnights. Was it CNN? Chez, in case you don't know, has been a television producer. He's a man of many colors.
Yes. A writer. A very good writer. Excellent
writer.
I started at SVN in Miami when I was like 21.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, you start off in TV, you start off on overnights. You do the graveyard shift.
Right.
And so, yeah, I started doing it. And I mean, you know, when you're 21, 22...
Yeah.
That's not that big a deal.
No, it's not.
I got offered a job making donuts at like 3 a.m. I was like, okay, that sounds great.
I did overnights at a country music station in Phoenix on weekends.
Right.
That's how I got my start on the air. That's how you get your start.
Yeah.
Right.
And your body can handle it.
Exactly.
Because you're young.
Yeah.
When you get, you know.
Jim was a straight guy that worked at a show tune station in Santa Barbara.
Oh, that is awesome.
And I knew a guy at K-Tide who was banging chicks out the window like State Street.
God damn
and
it.
The guy who came to me brought me a cake. Hi.
Hi. Oh, Jesus.
My career.
Clang, clang, clang goes the truck. God damn it. That guy's fucking playing Def Leppard and getting blown.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I did it again when I worked for CNN for a little while.
Yeah. What time did you get up?
I had to get up. The first gig that I had at CNN where I had to get up, I had to get up at like 5. That wasn't that bad.
That's not bad.
I can handle that. And then, but when I went to New York, it turned into, when I worked on American Morning, it was like you had to get up at like 2:30, something like that.
A couple of times.
Because I also lived out in Brooklyn at first.
So okay, so you had the commute.
One time you were accidentally on Armenian Morning.
And, yes.
That was bad. Yeah, I think Chris only works.
Very unorthodox.
I saw them taping that show at the car wash over in North Hollywood.
Only like
I think
you know,
the Turks took that
we
out.
We started at 6 a.m. It's not so bad. Chris has only had to like go upstairs once and pull me off a heating grate. Just what?
Yeah,
what
we've had the call up there.
What time?
Once.
Yeah, he just goes, "Lady,
Flavin,
what's happening with the lady host?" So this is Chris's cartoonishly large cheese I got for his going away party.
I enjoy that very much. It's a
giant
piece of cheese.
Yes. Wow.
He was on the air like he's fucking 8. He goes, "Can I have something cheesy for my party?"
Well, you asked me what I want.
I was like, oh, I just started punching myself in the face. Stop it. Stop torturing me. Stop being cute before you go.
Can I have some cheese?
That hunk of cheese isn't going to feel so good going out. It's a lot better going in.
But yeah, I do understand where Chris is coming from. That working overnights is rough.
Especially with a cunt like me.
Are you kidding? I would
if I
had to work overnights, I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I wouldn't mind hanging out with you. That would be a lot more fun. I've worked with, trust me, I've worked with a hell of a lot of people.
It's fun, and I've not prepared him for the real world. Look at this.
Well,
great. At my so you're just like today's colleges.
Yes.
You haven't prepared the kids for the real world.
I really don't.
At my new
Hitler
job.
It's Hitler and Mussolini
he's
in the morning.
Prepared to be with decent people.
At my new job, I have to wear business casual.
I don't know. What the fuck is I don't even know what business casual
what's
is.
Is that a clean t-shirt? Is that what
I have to buy a bunch of shirts with collars and buttons down the front.
My work wear is...
How do you work the buttons?
I walk from the bedroom out into the living room and put on sweatpants, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then I feed the cat, and then I work.
I want a bat pole where I just jump on the
right? Exactly.
Hop
like
into my
fireman,
outfit.
Sort of. But I've been sexually harassing him for a year, even though he's a homo gay, and then he tells me I have a spectacular ass. I'm like, you can't be like that with normal humans. You can't.
I'm sure HR would have something to say about that.
He talks about my shits. He burp. I'm like, you can't. Normal people don't act like
this. She's the only woman I know that lights a match after she takes a shit.
I'm polite. Wow. It's a community bathroom here.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
Yes.
Stop eating three-day-old sushi.
I do not eat three-day-old sushi.
Have you really eaten three-day-old
sushi?
Yes,
she has.
I have not. It's not 3 days old, Chaz. It's the day before.
Sushi should never be left over.
It's the day before. No. It was on sale.
I don't know. I've eaten one day. Ordering that night and then
the next
morning.
I ate it the next day. That's what I do. It's not 3 days old.
Put it in the fridge.
But I will eat. I don't care about any of that.
If it's 3.5 hours, call an ambulance.
So, Chaz, I've met the... first of all, I've sucked you into my cult. I could not believe it. I saw it the first time I saw you at SoulCycle. Have you ever seen someone out of context? Like, I ran into my gynecologist at Gold's Gym, and I was like, oh, hi, wow, hardly anyone here has seen my gooch. Why? What are you doing here?
Could be worse. You could have, is it a he or she?
It's a he.
You could have seen him at, a rodeo or something.
Right, yeah, it would have been random. I was just like, wow, yikes. Because especially if I was on the inner outer thigh machine, I'm like, oh, all right, well, you've seen that. Okay.
It's just riding a horse.
So, yeah.
Anyway, but I you were out of place. You did not seem like a cult kind of person. Chris gives me endless shit for my SoulCycle addiction.
It's like run by Friedrich Nietzsche.
It is not run.
I don't like to be yelled at when I'm working out.
That's because you feed the wrong wolf.
See, but he's right. I would like to be able to say that.
Pain is weakness leaving the body. Mm-hmm.
I would love to be able to say that. I would love to be able to say, you know what? I go and work out. Because I need to get away from everything, and I just put my headphones in, and I, put my earbuds in, and I listen to, you can tell how old I am, headphones. put my earbuds in, and I'm like, you
me
know
too,
what,
I can't do earbuds.
No. Nah, and I,
pop right
the
out.
Problem is that I'm completely fucking undisciplined. I am horribly undisciplined. Like, I will go into workout, and it'll be, I'll go for a 5-minute run on
and
the
I'm
treadmill,
like, oh, all right,
and then I'm
now.
Like, you know what? Wow, yeah. I've already spent 20 minutes here. I can leave.
I think I can go now.
I need places where I get yelled at.
10-pound.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, cocktail hour.
I need places.
Me too.
Where,
I need the motivation. I need it's like
I need
a,
the
it's
I need
like
the
a team or an army, Chris. It's a
an army of one.
Exactly.
And actually, you know what? The sort of camaraderie is not bad. I mean, it is.
It is.
Never somebody.
The music's great. The teachers are great. There's something about the whole.
Yeah. And I've gotten into it, and I'm not going to beat myself up because it's my first class there. I don't know which instructor I took, but
which Nazi, as Jim would say.
Which Nazi? Yeah, but she says
no one there has a German accent, Jim.
I got who's new here? Mm-hmm. I raised my hand. And she's like, welcome to your new addiction. And I said, costs about as much as my last addiction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got into your druggy days last time.
But I figured that. I figured, I've spent so much money throughout my lifetime on
I've gotten a lot of people hooked, and they're like, thanks a fucking lot. This is expensive.
Yeah, it is expensive. Yeah. But again, I've spent so much money throughout my life on shit that's terrible for me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's about time that I actually
spend
money on something that's worthwhile.
Right.
That
you're a music guy. Jim often says that all of my spinning sounds sound like if crystal meth had a sound, that would be the sound. Do you have the one? What's the one
Rage Faithfully is the name. Hold on.
It's fantastic. What's the one I'm trying to get him to, before he leaves, to get me put your fucking hands in the air? What's that one?
Here's the song that
Pixie
sounds.
Pixie plays it. Put your fucking hands in the air.
Oh shit! I don't know.
I'm not putting that together.
Put your fucking hands up.
The only ones that I know are like I take. We're really going to talk about like local Soul Cycle here.
Yes.
I take Pixie's class because she plays a lot of old rock.
Yes.
I take
old people music.
I take
like
Julia's class because she plays a lot of '90s stuff. She plays a lot of like Nine Inch Nails and shit like that, which
right.
is awesome
right.
to ride to.
Right.
And then I'll take Gail's class because again, it's all she. You know, she's really into '90s stuff
right.
and stuff like that.
Right.
And then, of course, there's David, because David is just pure fucking inspiration.
Yes. Wait, okay, so wait.
Okay, here, this is a song that sounds like Chris.
Jim loves this so much. If we could play this every break.
God. It's horrible. This is what they did to prisoners in Vietnam.
It kicks in here.
Stephanie Miller.
Can I get a whoop?
And then the next musical part is the worst.
No, you
oh,
can
yeah,
get all right.
Yeah, yeah, you got it, and you got to, yeah.
This is the crystal meth part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's That makes your teeth
What's
bleed.
What's not soothing yeah. about that, Jim?
I can't believe you asked me to put that together.
I love that we're all old and we don't use earbuds, and ironically, I like a nice tongue fucking in my ear while I'm having sex, which is weird, because I don't like stuff in my ears outside of that.
Hmm. You like a wet willy during sex?
Don't you?
No.
Really? Okay.
That is kind of odd.
You know, I'm just saying, it's got to be coordinated with a nipple touch, but you know what I mean?
She has a lot of weird sexual things going on.
No, I do not.
Yes, you do.
There's something weird about that. Well, you know, coordination.
I get pissed on.
Jim could do it.
Look, there's nothing I
can say
that's worse.
There you go.
Uh-oh. Who's that?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Is that the red phone? The bat phone?
Yes. It's Commissioner Gordon.
I'm Commissioner Gordon.
No, you don't. I know. Some people don't like it. They're like, what are you doing?
No, I hate that.
Really?
Oh, God. I'd push you right off of me.
I don't.
I would never get anywhere near you.
I know.
You'd be like, oh, you have a
vagina.
I don't think there's anything in sex that I don't like. Once you're there and you're really into it,
right.
like, seriously.
What does it matter?
Yeah, you could drive a truck over me and,
right.
and bring
what,
in
don't
a,
you think, like,
bring
once,
in a bring
like,
in a Girl Scout sash and tie my cock off with it.
Right?
Like, fucking yeah, man. It's only after you, it's only after you've come, because coming is the you know, sort of the great realization.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the moment after you've come where you're just like, holy fuck, they're seriously, like, the police are knocking on the door.
What
and
did I just
there's
do?
There's a Girl Scout sash tied around me, and there are cookies everywhere. What did I just
Officer,
do?
Officer, it's not what you think. Oh, wait, do you think that someone tied a Girl Scout sash around my... Oh, no, it is then. Exactly
right.
What
oh, that's
you
right.
think.
Okay. Yeah.
No, but you're right. Isn't it? It's like, because we do news stories like that.
The Girl Scout was 38,
but
so...
It right. is always, like, when there is that, past that point of no return, it doesn't matter what's fucking happening, right?
Right.
It doesn't
oh,
matter.
Exactly.
SWAT team.
Yeah.
Like the SWAT team, that, you know, or the Zero Dark 30, like the got Bin Laden. You just be like, you know what? Can I finish?
Yeah. I'm not done yet.
We all turn into Ross Perot. Can I finish? I'm like this close.
I'm almost there. No, just wait a little bit. Buzzkill.
Oh, I shot my load and you shot me.
I shot my load in my eye.
You shot me.
Oh, my God.
I hate that, right? Don't you get a load in the eye?
It burns. I know that much. It does.
It does.
Right, but I know what you mean. You're right. There's things early on that could be turnoffs or a little like, oh, wow, really? What did you say? Or what are you doing? But you're right. At a certain point, you're like,
whatever.
I don't
point,
care what you said.
Yeah, it doesn't matter one bit. It's like, oh,
you're
yeah,
like, him wasn't that bad. You're right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't like being called a filthy whore.
Well, you know, at a certain point, Chris, it's fine. It's certain after you've crossed that line. And
right.
You're about
it's not.
To come,
it's not at the very beginning. It's right. not the opening line. Like somebody at a bar, yeah. hours before you actually wind up in bed, you look to me
filthy,
like a filthy
whore. That's a pickup line. If you're like, oh yes, now I am because I want to come.
I would
yes.
totally go for that. Uh-huh. I would love for a woman to walk up to me in a bar and go, "You're a filthy whore." Yes, I am. Thank you for asking. I'm so proud you noticed. I've been working on my filthy whoreism. I'm glad it shows off.
My whole life. Your girlfriend Taryn, hot.
Yeah, she
nice,
is.
Nice.
Yeah,
hot,
I got to
nice.
Meet her Saturday night.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
She really, really is. She's like fucking cool as hell. And by the way, you know, I will announce this publicly to all everyone. Right. Taryn's the first woman I've ever been with in my entire life that I have not cheated on in some way.
Wow.
I did not cheat on my last wife, but, you know, like, got drunk at a party and made out with somebody.
Okay.
That right. kind of shit.
But that's no, cheating. Any
no,
girl will say that's cheating.
Oh, exactly. But no, Taryn is somebody who, she and I are, you know, we have our ups and downs, but it's always
awesome.
It's always like, she's fantastic.
How long is this?
I
didn't mean how long is your dick. I mean, I'm sure it's because I'm sure that's why. Partially because you're smart and funny, and also that
and
she stayed.
But
how long?
So, okay, I was gonna say that. Does that have an impact on the size of my dick? Trust me, it
no,
doesn't.
No. But I was just asking how long you've been together.
Cannot believe this happened. My bad luck. I moved out to L.A.
Right.
At the very end of 2011. I got here like the week between Christmas and New Year's, and I'm like, everybody's like, you're going to be Hank Moody from Californication. You're going out there. You're just going to get laid left and right. And I got out here and I met her on New Year's Day, and that was it. So, we've been together ever since. And
but how long ago is this now? I'm sorry.
No, that was so it was 2012, so we're coming up on 4 years.
Aww. Congratulations.
Aww.
Yeah, and she's great.
And
she
how's
is.
The pussy? I mean, the cat that you guys saw.
Oh, Gizmo!
The pussy's
Gizmo.
Fine, and Gizmo. The cat's great, too.
Hey, yay!
Oh, the cat, ladies. No, the cat is...
You are a total crazy cat lady.
I am. Yeah. I'm a fucking cat lady. I'm like, this cat comes up behind me, and curls up against my neck, and I'm just like some dribbling idiot talking baby talk to it, like, oh, it's a beautiful baby, I love you, oh, I'm so glad we found you, and I pick it up and I pet it, and I'm just, and it's purring, and I'm just like, oh my god, it's so happy.
And he gets on the podcast, he's like, I want to hit Ben Carson in the head with a fucking mallet, you fucking asshole.
Exactly.
You know, I once left a sponge in somebody's brain.
You did.
And I think I put it back in my own brain.
Okay, listen, Chez, last time we talked your drug shit. Seriously, is he on opiates? Has he anestheticized himself?
God, that'd be awesome.
That is weird. How long his eyes stay closed? You're just like, what?
That would be.
Is happening?
That would be amazing. He's insane.
He's fucking crazy.
We were having the discussion beforehand about how, you know, if you know the horrible choice of if you had to have one or the other, Donald Trump.
God,
or
I heard
Ben
you guys
Carson.
Talking.
Yeah,
and honestly, Donald Trump. I
Me
would
too.
Rather have Donald
I was
Trump.
When you guys were talking, when you guys were talking about, it, I thought, oh God, they're both horrible, racist.
Oh yeah.
You know, have no fucking idea what they're talking about.
You know what the difference is,
but
though?
You go, he's at least not, you said he's not a religious fucking zealot.
You know what, maybe, I don't know whether it's an okay analogy. It's like the difference between, say, Russia as an enemy of the United States.
And Shecky Green.
And Shecky Green. Russia or terrorists. Because terrorists, you have, like, at least when the Soviets were our enemy, you knew what they wanted. All they wanted to do was to stay in power. There was that standoff because they were smart.
Mutually assured destruction.
Exactly.
And Khrushchev and Kennedy were working, you know, behind the scenes to keep their own hotheads from starting World War III.
Right.
And you had Curtis LeMay, who was the basis for Buck Turgeson and Dr. Strangelove.
Ah, Mr. President, I'm not saying we wouldn't get a hair must. I'm just saying 10 to 20 million dead tops depending on the
race. I love that.
Yeah.
What?
Huh?
And what this Curtis LeMay was going around, you know, parties in Washington saying, yeah, we're going to do a first nuclear strike on the Soviets. You know, we might lose 4 or 5 major cities, but it'll be worth it. 4 or 5 cities?
Yeah.
Right, you're like people
are you nuts?
At the table. Uh-huh, uh-huh. What?
But for the most part,
he didn't
aside
say
from that,
4 or 5 cities.
But for the most part, you've got, you know, you do have people who are, they are heads of state. They think somewhat alike. They
right.
want, they both
right.
want to stay in power. They both want to avoid their entire countries being right. annihilated.
Right.
And then you've got religious lunatics like terrorists. And that is right. basically what Ben Carson is.
No,
you're
I mean,
absolutely right.
You know,
he's a
Trump,
great comparison.
Trump's a racist. Trump's a racist.
Oh,
he's
totally.
A birther. He's,
no,
you know,
he's
but
awful.
You go, Carson is racist against Muslims. He's homophobic. No. He's a religious crazy
oh, yeah.
person.
Totally.
And as you were saying, like, it was terrifying. Not only that we're in this universe where he knows nothing and no one... They won't fact check him now.
Right.
No.
Or correct. Like, no, China's not in fucking Syria. What? No.
I get all my instructions from God.
Yeah.
He talks to me personally.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of guy who, like.
The unemployment rates don't go up when we raise or down, whether, you know, or up when we raise the minimum wage. No. Like, no one's going to go. Huh? No.
Yeah. I can just.
Yeah. I don't want to go to work because they're paying me more money. Huh? What?
Right. Wages are too low or too high. Or, like,
yeah. You get the feeling that if you, like, shake Ben Ben Carson's hand, he turns into like the senator or president from the dead zone, where you could just see, you can see, you know, just a nuclear wasteland. Because he woke up one night and said, "You know what I'm going to do? God told me I'm
just going to hasten Armageddon."
But that's what's fucking terrifying is you've heard this like God complex that surgeons have. I mean, everyone that runs for president has an ego, but you go. To have the ego to run when you have no fucking clue what you're talking about government, it'd be like somebody was making the analogy. It's like somebody that's pretending to be your brain surgeon. It's never like you're listening to them going, are you actually a brain surgeon? Have you really done this? Or I mean, that's what he sounds like. He's just bullshitting about, you're going,
I read this really great piece the other night. I swear I wish I could remember where the hell it's written. It was written by a guy who is a neurologist, or a neurosurgeon. Mm-hmm. And he said, he's like, Ben Carson isn't smart. He says, Ben Carson is unbelievably skilled. Right. And there's the difference. Mm. He's somebody who is absolutely amazingly adept as a brain surgeon.
Yes.
But he's not smart in the sense that there are plenty of things he doesn't know. But the problem is when you combine not knowing shit with thinking you know everything because God has fucking divined it.
That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. That's a real problem. Yeah. Like today, I think the latest thing, we were talking about it during the podcast. Earlier today he said, I don't know who the hell asked him this, I just read the headline. And basically he apparently said something to the effect of, because, you know, he's pushing for a no-fly zone over Syria.
Right.
And he's like, well, you know what? If Russian
to take out the Chinese forces that are not there.
Yeah, if Russian fighters break the no-fly zone, you shoot them down. Like, no, you don't fucking shoot them down. That will fucking start
World War.
Yeah, right. That will start World War III.
God. But did you hear his answer on the Chinese? Like, you know, when they're like, what you said China was in Syria, but they're not. Oh, well, you know, China wants to get involved in a lot of places in the world, and I was presented to me. You'll have to ask my people for the data. I don't really. Yeah. No, it's like what? No.
I heard there's a great Chinese restaurant in Damascus.
Yeah, I'm really bothered by the idea that this is. You know, I've said this so many times. Like, you know, my dad is relatively conservative. I grew up with those kind of politics.
Yeah, and me too.
I don't think there used to be a time when conservatives, as much as an absolute fucking tedious, pompous bore as he is, there was a time when William F. Buckley tried to keep the crazies out of the party. Don't look at his eyes.
We must keep the crazies out of the party. Right.
But that's it. I mean, like, look, the guy was boring as
homosexuals
fuck.
Like going on.
I feel like if we ask my dad in Goldwater on the wall behind me, like the scene of the man with two brains. Do you think there's anything wrong with the current Republican Party? Does it bother you that Donald Trump and Ben Carson are the front runners? That would just start spinning and just things flying off the wall.
I feel like somebody's got to admit it. Besides just Kasich, I mean, somebody's got to stand up and go, like, look, this is not what the party used to be. The party, even if you didn't
agree with
his politics.
He got the lowest ratings ever from the Frank Luntz group. They're like, boo, what do you mean, boo? Like, we can't build a wall and deport 12 million people.
Like you said on the Bob and Chez Show podcast, available on iTunes.
Thank you. This is why we're going to miss
someone on stage.
It's totally self-serving.
Somebody on stage needs to turn to him and say, no, what you just said is idiotic and dangerous.
Yeah. And they need to call them out because, I mean, one of the problems is that, and I think they are trying to do it, but they're always, the media is always aware of the claims of a liberal bias. Mm-hmm. And I can say that I will fucking
tell
you.
Oh my God, they made them into total fucking pussies. Like, they were like the polite fucking chipmunks. Like, oh no, after you. Oh, thank you, sir. We'll go on to the next. Like,
after you. Oh no, you first. Thank you.
Well, that's a complete fucking lie or totally incorrect.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
but I can say that from experience. I sat in meetings where we put stories on the air and where NBC's managers said to me, you know, just look, you know, just be aware, always be aware of the accusations. And they never say, like, what it is, but you get it.
Right,
it's
liberal
like, you know,
bias. Yeah,
liberal
it's
like, you got to be careful. We have to, you know, make sure we're balanced here. And I'm like, no, you know what?
That reporter looks like he has headlines and liberal bias.
Balance when it comes to opinion is one thing. Balance when it comes to facts is bullshit.
Right.
Fact to fucking fact.
You're
what about
absolutely
Ben
right.
Carson going, I don't, no one's ever been vetted like this, not like this. Ever.
They accused Obama of being Kenyan Muslim.
Yeah.
Even
Chris Christie said, you're full of shit.
They've been hunting Hillary Clinton for 25 years. Yeah. Really?
Exactly.
Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, I mean, isn't that amazing? Like, I, no.
No one's never been looked into as much as I have.
No, I've never heard of this.
Didn't he say something like, you know, to my, if I recall correctly, Obama was never, and I'm just like, if you recall correctly, you think the fucking pyramids were built for grain. You don't recall dick.
Well, he probably does recall dick, but that's it. Nixon.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, he repeated that whole talking. Why were the president's records sealed? Because of the federal, you know, privacy protection laws you have too, that anyone has.
Yeah. Well, that's different because
it's some conspiracy.
Different because I'm the son of Jesus.
Did you see the picture of him with Jesus? With black Jesus, with Barry Gibb Jesus?
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. Marvin Gaye and Barry Gibb Jesus.
He did look like Marvin Gaye.
Seated literally at the right hand of Jesus. It goes from God to Jerry to you to the cleaners. So please tell me somebody saw Real Genius.
I did.
Thank you.
Yes,
yeah,
I did.
But like, it's like it goes from
Real
God to Jesus to Ben Garza.
Wow. Yep.
Jesus. Terrifying. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's not like stuff in the past, like, oh, you know, Michelle Bachmann, Herman Cain, and whatever, you know, but you go, this is sticking. This is not just a summer thing. No. I'm like, and they're still the front runners.
And even
you know who else is a doctor? Dr. Mengele.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, thank you.
And even if he, you know, if his campaign collapses, where do they go next? You've still got Trump. And the problem is, and I was telling Bob this the other day, the problem is that as long as these guys continue to know exactly what to say to get media attention, that's going to drown out everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the media does set the narrative.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, the media are the ones who can decide, you know what? This guy had a great debate there, and everybody goes, cool. Well, if the media keeps covering every time Donald Trump opens up his mouth and says something fucking dumb, and he's going to continue to do that because he knows what the response is, then he's never getting knocked out of the top spot. Him and Carson.
Well, he never has to give
Is he
details.
Back in the top spot now?
I'm talking
yeah, they're kind of going back and forth.
Yeah, it's like, who else is behind them? Yeah. Who's even close?
I think if Marco Rubio actually has to debate Hillary Clinton,
I think Rubio's the closest.
It will be the Bob sound effect with the. They will actually put a toilet next to his podium so that he may
can
drink
look
out of
it. Right.
Because I feel like he may be a tad bit outclassed in terms of experience.
We'll have a big Poland Spring toilet next to him.
Oh, yeah.
No. Hang on. I got an answer about Syria. Right. Just give me a second.
Bob sent us that.
Oh,
I'm so glad. Thanks, Bob.
Oh, God.
As long as it's not the vomit sound.
All right.
Oh, we used to have that vomit sound, but we got so many complaints about it that we switched to something more cartoonish.
I love Bob so much. It's funny because I come onto this show to
people
complain
would vomit
about stuff
in
from our own show, which I will not do because I love the show.
People people are fine with this, but when we have the more hardcore...
I don't have that. You made me take that out. Well, the farting.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Which one?
This
that one. Yeah.
By the way, I can't stress enough, seriously, like, I show up and do the show. Like, Bob busts his fucking ass.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. I mean, he really, really does.
That's a highly produced show.
That's our Chris and Jim. Chris busts his ass. Jim is like a hothouse orchid. He's an Emmy award-winning. He just shows up, and he sometimes does the quest word. He's late. He leaves early. Whatever. He's Jim. He's
right.
And Chris, Chris is like one of Kathy Lee's...
I don't know about that, but I recognize all the hard work that he puts into your show.
And he does.
Because
he really
I do the
does.
Same thing.
Everything, show prep, sound bite, up at 2:30 in the morning.
He does all of that.
And a deep understanding of all of the issues you guys talk about.
He does that, and Bob treats me like an equal, which I'm baffled by. Because I just show up and fucking stammer like a moron.
Oh, well,
like
I bow before Jim Ward's superior talent. I mean, what the fuck can you do?
No, right? you bring your own thing to the show that's very valuable to the show.
I'm glad.
You bring a cynicism.
You know what? You're the Jim Ward of the show because you're the Eeyore. Awesome. He always plays the hello.
He does.
Jim was right in 2006. He's like, lost the house, Pooh.
And you've also worked in the trenches in TV news.
This is true.
So you bring something really, really valuable to the show.
Mm. I mean, I love doing the show. I do. It's
You're
great.
Hilarious.
You and again, though, Bob, I mean, the amount of work that he puts in. And what I think what amazes me the most, and I've never told him this, is like he treats me like an equal, which I'm just like, why the fuck do you treat me like an equal, dude?
Oh
you
my
are.
God. I
you're
think
like
Bob Seska's first gay experience might be Chez Pascanza. That'd be so fucking great.
Well, it's funny, he treats me like Splenda.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't think Bob would.
Yeah.
That's not Bob's kind of thing.
No, it's not. He likes the patang. We have the same taste in Patang.
Oh, really? You've discussed?
Well, yeah. So do Gemini. All right. So anyway, Chaz, you're also a music guy. So, because you talk music a lot. And Jim Ward is a music guy, a great singer. What's your favorite...
I don't know. I mean, I started.
What's your favorite poivre?
I started playing drums when I was a kid, when I was like five.
Wow.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, incredibly annoying.
I would have.
And really... yeah, my mom listened to like Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66. And my dad listened to Coltrane and Oscar Peterson.
Oh,
Dave Brubeck.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
And so, you know, I was brought up with these influences, and then. You know, and then I was like, I had like the stoner chuckaboot wearing kid who showed up in like fifth grade and was just like Zeppelin and AC/DC here. Like, yeah, fuck yeah. and then it turned into punk and alt, and I was a skate punk.
I am an anarchist. Yeah. I am an antichrist.
You kind of followed Jim's path.
Yeah, Jim Ward is the soundtrack of your life.
I like it. And then. Yeah, and then, you know, eventually I joined a band, and I listened to, like, everything.
You were in a band. Jim was in a band. What was the name of your band? Jim's band was the Foreskins.
Oh, dear God.
That was my fake, band.
All right, it's a joke. I still like it.
It was fun. No, we played
for,
like,
four.
I understand. What did you play? What did you play?
Drums. Yeah. I mean, I kept playing
drums. Jim, did you play something in addition to sing, or were you just the...
I played guitar and harmonica.
Oh.
Cool. That's very
Jim
cool.
can do things with your mouth, with his mouth.
With your mouth?
His mouth.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything
He's trying to do things with my mouth, too. That's how I got him to come back, because the money is not good. Okay.
I think the one thing that I did is that as I got older, I didn't reach... I'm kind of getting there now, but I didn't reach that point where... I stopped listening to new music, where I was just like, okay, from now on, it's just Duran Duran for the rest of my life. whatever I've discovered up until this point, that's all I'm listening to, and fuck everything else.
Yeah.
You know, every week, I'm just like, okay, what's new on iTunes? Okay, you know, what's I listen to KCRW, Morning Becomes Eclectic.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, all right, whatever's new, and I mean, I'm always very, like, Bob enjoys this. I'm always very, very excited about new bands that
awesome.
I find.
You know, this is weird because it's a cross between, like, a music show and
Now it's Jason Bentley, who used to host Metropolis.
Yeah.
Right.
It's also like a music channel, Chris, and an Animal Planet, How Not to Train Your Dog, because you can see Jim Ward continually feeding my dog Max cheese. Yeah. And you know what happened last time? Jim, my very esteemed lawyer friend, was here, who worked with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He clawed her so badly that she was bleeding down the front of her leg, and I had to give her first aid. And I thought, I hope she's not litigious. But Jim Ward has trained Max to think that is all right.
Golly.
To claw someone's leg off in order to get cheese.
Attack, kill, cheese.
Right, Max? Isn't that cute? Oh, who almost calls mama the house? Goodbye.
Call 911.
Yeah. My musical taste kind of stunted in the late or in the early 90s. Because if you listen to any of the music that we play on the show, it's like a lot of early 90s alternative stuff, because that's when I was a college DJ.
Yeah, I know. My music, stunted too.
I did like I've always said that I'm 10 years behind where I should be in terms of my maturity. So I'm about 35 now.
Okay.
So the music, as much as I loved punk and hardcore, and as much as I loved sort of, you know, whatever new wave from the 80s,
right,
I consider the music of my youth actually to be the stuff in the 90s. So, you know, you go back to...
Really? Wait, how old are you?
45.
I'm just like the record. So no, I'm like 70s girl. Yeah.
My era is Johann Sebastian Bachmann Turner Overdrive.
There you go.
It covers a lot of ground.
Yeah, but so I
I'm all about Chris Goodbye Stranger. It's been nice.
Oh, I mean, look.
Hope you find your paradise, you fucker.
No, I mean, I love Baroque music and punk and jazz and everything in between.
Sure.
Big band.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Music is good music.
Yeah.
No one does Mick Jagger face like Jim. Do it.
Which album, though? Beggar's Banquet or Steel Wheels?
Steel Wheels, he kind of fell.
Yeah. Beggar's Banquet was a great album.
I bet my solo albums. Now, don't ask about that. Actually, one of them was pretty good. Wandering Spirit was actually good. Because it sounded like a Stones record.
Ah.
And now we're stuck, what with Chris leaving with, you know, Adele.
Man.
She looks great on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Hello.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, Chris? Oh, I'm blocked. It's me. I'm blocked. What the fuck? Really? Already?
Yeah. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like
to go over. You need the quote, old-fashioned flip phone.
Hang on.
everything.
To go over
okay.
everything.
I just want to know, because we have all straight guys here, right here. Has a guy ever answered yes once to, it's been years, would you like to go over everything?
No. Okay. I have totally answered yes to, hey, it's been years, and would you like to
would
fuck again?
Would you like again? To fuck?
Yeah, oh my God. Are you kidding?
Would you blow me?
Yeah,
sure.
It's like everything that, you know, it's the best parts of sex. It's new again, and yet it's old and comfortable.
Right, right. Like
an old the greatest thing ever.
Like an old shoe that's gotten a little tighter.
Yeah, I used to have an ex-girlfriend who would call me all the time.
It turned out that she
lived in New York, so when I moved to New York after 9/11, she was trying to date, and I had a mutual friend of ours who's like, you have to stop responding when she calls because she's not going to get a date as long as you're there to fuck her. And so, yeah, so it's like, it's 2 a.m. and I'm out drinking with friends, and all of a sudden it's like the phone goes off.
Like,
come over and have sex with me. And like, you know, the bat signal goes off with a giant penis in the sky.
Or at least a giant C for Chez and cunt. Yeah. Oh, there's a C in the sky.
That's what I miss about New York, though. It's like, New York's like, it's
the
like
bat
one,
signal?
It's like one, well, yeah, it's like a big living room. You know, or it's like a very small, like living on a campus quad or something. You know, it's just, I get a phone call at 3 a.m. You want to have sex? Yeah, sure. You put on your pajamas and you walk downstairs, get a cab.
You can get laid in your pajamas.
In your pajamas, just, all right, just take me here. Okay, great. Thank you for that ride. I'm good. Okay. Then you take the walk of, you know, either the victory lap or walk of shame.
The walk of shame.
In the morning.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Wow. All right.
Fun days.
I don't know how we got. Good times.
Karen
gives
me shit about that.
Does she?
I must have had some fun days. I don't remember them, though.
Oh, Jim, you did. You're a god.
Yeah.
He still now is like, right? Because all the chicks like,
yeah,
can you fuck me while you're doing Kim Jong-il? Or like some weird
wow.
shit. They're just like,
yeah, but they're all in their 60s. But.
Can you lick me with it doing Tom Brokaw?
It'd be great for that. Come here. I want to lock here.
It already sounds like you're doing it. Yeah.
Can you lick not just the alphabet, but say America Letourneau while you're licking my clitoris?
Mary Kay Letourneau and her husband, Billy Falau.
Billy Falau.
Chez, you've been in the news business. Do you agree with us that Tom Brokaw quit after
Slobodan Milosevic
invaded
Yugoslavia?
Right. He's just like, fuck you guys, right? Really? Fuck you.
That
you did this
good.
On purpose. Why?
And that was around the same time as Mary Kay Letourneau and Billy Falau.
You know, he's like, fuck you all. It's not funny, my L problem.
And the Latvian lose team and Lillehammer.
It's all at the same time. It was like a perfect storm for Tom Brokaw
I had never met him, and then I ran into him at a Christmas party in New York. I think it, oh my God, I want to say it was like probably 2005.
Hallelujah.
And it was,
hallelujah.
It was at his daughter's fa-la-la, party. Fa-la-la. So I meet him, and he's got like...
Sing fa-la-la. Hang on.
Fa-la-la. It's the season to be jolly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Okay, sorry.
Bob Bazell has the same problem.
Oh, problem.
No, sorry. he's got on like an ivory cable knit sweater, like he just came off a cape.
Right.
Yeah. How are you doing? It's great to meet you.
And I'm just like, wow, I'm meeting a legend, and he's wearing a cable
knit
sweater.
I am a legend.
And he's drunk.
Oh, what does Tom Brokaw sound like when he's drunk?
Dude, it's indecipherable. But he's a really nice guy. I mean,
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I got to give him credit because I like the idea that he's somebody who is miserable about the fucking gigantic garbage fire that NBC uses.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes me very happy.
What do you think about that? Just the state of fucking journalism, even since you were in it. Like, literally this last debate, you know, what's his name? Reince Priebus, Donald Trump, they're all patting him on the head. Oh, that was great. That was great. It was very elegant.
Yeah, but
it was great.
You knew that.
It was very, they were all elegant. It was so elegant. It was so elegant, I almost barfed.
Yeah, you know that. I've
been having shit such elegant stuff. I haven't shitted such elegant gold-plated shit since. I mean, seriously,
But he, like, latches on one word and just repeats it.
He repeats everything.
Yeah,
Chris.
And it's one adjective. That's his thing. Instead of giving you policy, he just throws out adjectives.
It's gonna
be great. It's gonna be terrific.
You're gonna love it.
Yeah,
you don't need details. It's gonna be great. You're gonna love it.
Yeah.
And this is the state of journalism that they're terrified to be Megyn Kelly or the CNBC moderator. So they're just like, oh, okay, no follow ups. Oh, let's be polite. I mean, it's like they're going to go, we talk substance. There wasn't.
Tom
was
Brokaw
like, no,
likes follow-ups.
I mean, I tend to write a lot about NBC because NBC pisses me off more than any other network because it's, you know,
the network that pisses off more people than any other network.
I made a big stink about this a while back where, you know, I said, I'm like, I think this is when I was still writing for the blog. And I said, you know, I'm
a
like,
blog?
The blog. The blog. I said, you know, I'm like, I've been, the reason that NBC gets so much shit from me, even compared to like a network like Fox, is that I don't expect much from Fox. Right. NBC is a place, like, ask anybody who was ever at NBC, and they are like, I bow to it. You know, you walk into 30 Rock, and you're like, this is the gold standard. This
been
is
there,
the place
done
I've
that.
Always dreamed of working. This is the place I've always wanted to be.
Right.
And I was so proud to work at NBC. And watching, you know, watching Jeff Gaspin and Jeff Zucker fuck over the entire, you know, the entire network when it came to the entertainment division, and then watching MSNBC tank, and watching, and every time NBC News gets screwed up, I lose my mind. You know, I get so pissed off because it's like, you guys should be better than that.
Yeah.
You guys should be better than nothing but silly ass cross promotion between your properties.
But it's almost like the Republican Party's dragged their party so far to the right, but you're right, they've dragged the media with them.
Of course they have.
Where they're just like, you know, you cannot be called liberal media.
Right.
And it's insane where they, Morning Joe, like you just said, they've been expanded to four. He's a Republican. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to be the liberal network. And that's.
Right. Well, they brought Andy Lack back. And I worked at NBC.
Andy Lack.
Yeah. I worked.
NBC's not all high news.
I worked for NBC back when he was there, and he was the guy who rescued the network in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I mean, turned it around from being horse shit to the number one network, and that's when I was there. And so I have a great deal of respect for him, but I don't know if – I think things have changed so much. I think he may even who's somebody who's very sharp, understands the NBC system, I think he may be over his head.
Wow.
So
wait, are they negotiating bring Oberman back? What's happening? That's the scary
part. I don't know.
I've heard.
That's what I've heard. I'd love to see it happen. You know, for a long time, I was one of the first people to say, fuck you, man. Oberman may be a brilliant broadcaster, but he's a toxic cloud over any newsroom, any organization he's in, because he's fucking crazy. Hmm. He's crazy and he's arrogant.
Very arrogant.
Have I ever told the Oberman story?
Which Oberman story?
I've not actually told
it. I haven't heard of this.
Okay, you're debuting an Oberman story here on the Stephanie Miller Happy Hour.
I'm not familiar with this Oberman person.
Tell it.
Really?
Tell it.
No, you don't have to.
What the fuck?
Go tell it on the mountain.
I just called him crazy. You know.
No, I have never met him. I was a huge fan, as many of us were. Obviously.
And I am too, as a broadcaster.
Absolutely.
Fucking brilliant.
Oh my God, huge fan. I used to talk about it all the time. I used to call him my future husband, and people knew, like, I always thought, like, it wasn't like Rosie O'Donnell. I thought it was pretty clear they were political crushes, my future husbands. Like, right. I never made up a husband or a boyfriend or whatever. Like, you know.
Oh, this story. Okay.
No. Yes.
You've never told the story on the air.
No, I have not. But I was always like, you know, my future husband, Keith Olbermann, because he, you know, we were all like liberals
right.
at that time. We're like, oh my God, he's fucking Jesus. He's saying the shit that needs to be heard about Bush and all that stuff.
He was the king.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so what was it, Chris? Like, so he had a girlfriend at the time, and you know how you can't, you guys don't take calls, but you know, when you take calls, like, you can't control what people are going to say. So I can't remember. Like, people all played along with me. They're like, oh, your future husband, and oh, you know, someone called, and so he has a new girlfriend, and she's a lot younger than you, mama, and she's blah, blah, blah. Like, and I don't remember what I said. Just some funny shit. Oh, really? Well, she can't. Blah blah blah.
She can't hold a candle to you, or
right?
Yeah.
Something.
Right.
Just joke. I mean, I thought it was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm just like, oh, you know, she's whatever, and I was being like fake jealous.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway, Keith Olbermann got incredibly pissed off about that apparently, and never.
You know what? No, I'm not going to ask why, because honestly,
his
neuroses, and again, I'm you know, I don't mean to disparage him, just in case lawyers are listening.
Yeah, so.
But no, his neuroses are kind of well known. Mm-hmm. And
and I always loved him, and but I guess he got really pissed because she got hurt, and he got
kind of, and it's so, something silly to get pissed off about.
No, him. And so then when we were supposed to be at Current, he was still there, and they were like, I don't know if that's going to happen. Well, and so I wrote him a letter.
Right.
I don't, you know, they're like, you need to write him an apology. I did. I wrote to his girlfriend. She's like, he's like, she's right to my girl. I did. And she was lovely about it. She's like, I don't really remember this. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean any, I don't even know you. I don't know Keith. Like, so I just was, anyway. And I don't know. I never heard back. And, but no, I still love
but
him.
But we got on current TV.
There you
well,
go,
because
good.
He was leaving, yeah. Probably. But I know it's the weirdest story because I love him and I love him to this day as a broadcaster. And I've never met him. And I, you know, you guys do. Can you imagine if we parsed everything we've all said or you've said on your podcast? Like, I'm going, it was a joke.
Yeah.
I didn't mean anything by it. Like, I'm a fucking asshole. Like, idiot. And so anyway, I don't know, but you know, to this day, I guess he
and I'm well past the point in my life where I worry about that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I know, and I wrote a long apology letter. Yeah. I never heard back. I just was like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Like, I anyway. Oh, but you know, and the other thing, Chaz, is I'm going, you know, we talked about this about sexuality in the last everybody knew I was gay.
Right.
Everyone in the business knew, my friends, my family.
Right.
I finally came out on the air, but I'm like going, you must have known that was a joke.
Right.
That I wasn't really competitive with your girlfriend. At all,
right.
You know? Like,
God,
it was a joke.
Shit.
Right. Anyway, but that was it. So I know. Isn't it weird how in the media there's all these different.
Should
I heard
them.
Like Seth Rogen and Justin Bieber just made up. And I'm like, I don't. You know.
You should have told Keith you were having an affair with James Thurber. He would have.
Yeah.
Exactly. I
love that.
No, that's but it's
no.
Yeah,
I still love
ridiculous.
Him, and I still love to make up with him. I didn't. I don't. I never meant any
make out
offense.
With him. You said
I said would like to make up. With him. I would like to make out. With
really?
Him. Yeah, I like to. All see right. Him. Whatever. You know.
No, he's look. He's a brilliant guy. I think he should finally come back to MSNBC because
be great.
Now I'm
probably
very,
be great for ratings.
Now it's
yeah.
NBC. MSNBC is so fucked up. They have just gutted that network so badly.
Yeah.
That,
but
yeah, they've
would
got
that affect the other product on. The channel because he would bring morale down everywhere he goes.
He brings morale. He is a toxic cloud.
Exactly.
Yeah, he really is. He and that's the thing.
And so you have to weigh the benefits versus
the harm. There would have to be. I mean, and I you know it's weird because
oh my God,
with him he's the kind of guy who you want to let run free.
Right.
You want to let him do his thing.
Yeah.
But there would have to be a rule that was basically like, look, you know what? No fucking bullshit. We'll give you a job. We'll let you on the air. You've got, you know, you've got your creative and editorial freedom. But when it comes to behind the scenes, if you act like a dick, you're out of here. I mean, I'm sorry. We're not going to fucking put up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I used to believe that anybody who took a chance on him was crazy. But MSNBC is so up against the wall right now.
Yeah.
That they need something.
Yeah.
And you know, and I say that knowing that it violates this sort of rule I have in terms of what I think and kind of know about news, which is or broadcasting in general, which is if you vanish for a little while, you're kind of I mean, now because of social media, it's not as big a deal because social media will keep your name
right,
out there.
Right.
But there was a time where if you vanished for like 6 months, they took you off the air or something.
Yeah.
Your fucking stock dropped to nil.
Exactly.
You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your history.
Yeah.
So.
No, I mean, I, you know, Ed Schultz is my buddy. You know, he's like my radio big brother and he had great ratings.
Yeah.
And they took him off.
Yeah. It's very odd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird because, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of Ed Schultz on the air because I felt like he yelled too much. I'm not a big fan of yelling. But on
what are you talking about? I'm a sportsman from Harlan.
But on the other side of the spectrum, as soon as they put, and I fucking think Chris Hayes is a very smart guy, but as soon as they put him at the 8 o'clock position, I'm just sitting there going, like, I'm shocked he's lasted this long because his numbers are terrible.
Yeah.
And to have that anchor of primetime position right there at 8 o'clock and
well,
have
I,
your
I
ratings
know, I
tank,
think Chris
that
Hayes
is
very smart. But I think you're right.
Extremely.
I think that.
He's smart,
said,
but he's
think,
not
I think
a personality.
The people that
right.
get huge ratings are big personalities. They're Bill O'Reilly, they're Ed Schultz, they're Keith Olbermann.
What
they're,
he
they're
is,
Rachel Maddow. They're, I mean, and she's in a different way, but, you know, they're big personalities.
The mistake that I think a lot of liberals make, because for a brief amount of time I was dating somebody who was like a liberal, I don't know, activist, but she worked for an organization. And she was talking to me, and she's like, I went on TV, and I brought all of these facts and like all of these statistics and all of this. And the other guy who was a Republican was, you know, was just kind of going off the cuff. And she's like, and I had proof that I proved my point. And yet, really, why do I feel like he won? I'm like, that's because he did. He won because he came from the heart and you came from the head. That's why liberals always lose.
Right.
Because they think instead of just fucking projecting.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what liberals need a little bit more. They need people who do speak from the heart. They need people who are passionate.
Edward R. Murrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like for all of her wonkiness, fucking you hit it on the head. Rachel Maddow still has an awful lot of, she's got a great sense of humor.
Yes.
She's no, and I really remember good
she's
writing.
Entertaining.
Yep.
You have to be entertaining.
You have to be entertaining.
But I remember doing a piece, an interview where I said I thought Keith Olbermann would, at the time was the Edward R. Murrow of our generation.
I think so too.
During the Bush administration, I'm like, oh my God, he is channeling many of us.
He spoke truth to power during the Bush administration better than anybody.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, So, I don't know. I mean, Chaz, what an interesting time for you coming from media, and just like, I mean, not just the Republican Party, but the way the media is covering it, in the way that's so fucking pussified.
Oh yeah, totally.
Right?
Don't dare say anything bad to the Donald.
It's going to be huge. Skin. It's going to be great. You're going to love it.
You don't need
to hear the details. It's going to be great. You're going
to
love it.
You still need access to the fucking Bush administration war criminals, right? That, like, right, just to pretend like, oh, yeah, well, let's just see what they think about it. You're like, no, they belong to the fucking Hague. That's where they belong. Yeah. Let's not ask their opinion.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's exactly what it is. But, you know, I mean, it's a fucking mess right now. I mean, I think I'm starting to get the impression that considering just how obscenely crazy the Republican candidates are right now, I think that the media is coming down on them more than we've seen before. I think you are at least seeing some people who are willing to stand up and just go, this doesn't make any sense. And that's the reason why all of the Republicans lost their shit during the CNBC debate. Yeah, they were a little snarky about it, but they actually asked pretty substantive questions. The problem is that this crop of Republicans, their policy ideas are so fucking stupid and batshit that when you ask a serious question and when you question that, to them it sounds like a gotcha question. Yeah. Oh, you know, you just put me on the spot.
Oh, you want to know why conservative economists say this
just
doesn't work.
Because said 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah. I'm supposed to buy that?
Yeah. No, exactly. And that's exactly what it is.
And with that kind of answer, we don't get their philosophy behind why that might work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I might like to understand why they think it might work,
but
they go on to attack the media and we don't get an explanation why they think that kind of economics would work.
Right. Well, attacking the media is the age-old thing for Republicans.
Yeah. Right.
That's, they need that boogeyman. No matter how much everything moves over to the right.
Because the truth hurts, and they don't want to hear it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, the rise of Fox News means that all these people have to do, every time they open their mouths, they're not talking to the rest of the country. They're only talking to the people in the bubble. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
And those people in the bubble don't give a rat's ass what they have to say. It's just, you know what, Republicans, you fuck Obama, okay, you got us. We're good.
Ben Carson is a candidate that has lived in that bubble his entire life. Mm-hmm. And anytime he's challenged, he doesn't. It's like,
liberals are never challenged like that. No one ever asked Obama about
that. That's
it.
He freaks out.
They've accused him of being a Muslim from Kenya.
And a lot of our callers, you know, our right-wing callers who have only lived in that bubble, they get freaked out when they're challenged. Their thoughts scatter like shit thrown into a fan.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
when Chris says, dude! Okay.
I know that 2 + 2 = 114. I know that! Jesus told me so.
And when you provide them with evidence that it doesn't add up to 140, they're like,
liberal media, propaganda.
No, does not compute.
Yeah, right. I mean, I have, even on Facebook, I have like old friends of mine who, you know, old friends of mine from like Miami, and Miami's just still kind of
Florida's
kind of
a giant pile of, you know, Cuban American Republicanism.
Yeah.
But when these people who I knew a long time ago try to get involved try to argue on my page, it turns into, well, you know what, big government, don't you ask Hillary about Benghazi?
I just said you didn't make any
arguments.
Right.
All you did was just throw buzzwords at me. I'm like, go ahead, make an argument. I dare you. Try.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like another friend of mine brought up Benghazi.
2 + 2
and
equals 7.
I said, I'm only going to do this once. And I laid out all of Benghazi. I'm like, here's why it wasn't a big deal. Here's why it was a tragedy, but not a scandal. You know, here's the whole thing.
Here's
and I was a dick about it. I'm like, now that I've totally shut you down, please stop.
Yeah.
And he came back with something, and I'm just like, okay, I give up.
Yeah.
Dude, that's it. I surrender.
And, you know, and they talk about the movie thing, that was the impetus of it.
The video.
It was both. The video, yeah.
Yeah.
It can be both at the same time.
Oh, my God. Al Anwar, whoever the fuck, they claimed responsibility. That's why Hillary wrote that email at the time. Then yeah.
they
disclaimed responsibility, as often happens.
But they don't want to hear that.
Right.
And when they hear it, they just completely ignore it and go on to something else. Yeah. They can't stand.
And you know what?
They can't process two different thoughts
at the
same time.
I have no problem hearing... I want to, please, God. You know what? And I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong. When I'm wrong, fuck yeah. You call me on it. I'm the first person to say, yes, you're absolutely right. I know really smart Republicans. And I love talking to them.
I do, too.
I love that. Yeah. I love hearing, like, all right, you know what? That's an awesome way of looking
right,
at it that
disagree.
I hadn't thought of. And I can't imagine. I cannot imagine that any of those very smart people look at what the modern Republican Party is and go, oh, yeah, this it's terrific. Well, it's the same as it ever was. Yeah. It's awesome.
Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Barry Goldwater looks like a liberal now compared to
right.
these
crazy.
Yeah,
like,
and all these, you know, all these fucking... I mean,
what in 2015 are they against gays and gay marriage?
Goldwater said...
He was pro-gay rights in the fucking 80s.
You don't have to be straight to shoot straight. I mean...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is where we are now. These people are... bananas.
Yep.
And I don't think it's going to get any better. I think that as long as
of
Fox
Of course you
News
don't, Eeyore, because you and Jim are both Eeyore.
So I'm getting out of political talk radio just in time.
You are, yeah.
No,
you know what?
No.
Computer says no.
But remember when that Marine was shown on that big broadcast, curling?
Oh, whatever? God, yeah.
And then they told him he was gay. He was like, oh, good, get him off.
Well, that debate was in Mesa, Arizona. You're going to get that in Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He was a Marine with big muscles, and so they loved him until they found out he was gay.
What
the Christ.
That happens in Mesa, Arizona.
Christ.
I just don't understand that. I don't understand how anybody gives a shit whether somebody's gay or black or Hispanic or I just don't care.
I know.
You know, everybody's an asshole.
Everyone
has
the same asshole.
Listen to the Bob and Chez show. I do. Chris does.
Yep. It's, yeah.
Get it on iTunes. It is fantastic.
And you're coming with me to Palm Springs.
I am.
Yeah.
I swear to God, Taryn and I want to move to Palm Springs so badly.
Let's do it, baby.
Honestly. We are every time we go there a lot. It's just like
Palm Springs in August.
I'm coming with you. Let's
challenge.
Do a road trip to visit Chris Lavoie. Let's do it.
There
right?
you go.
Let's
well,
do
I
it.
I know a nice hotel you could stay at.
I thought I was going to stay with you.
I lived in Riverside in the early 60s
up.
In this little sort of tar
I got it.
Shack.
With
no AC. Mm-hmm. You know,
not
we just didn't get out of our bathing suits for most of the year.
You know what? I lived in Phoenix for 13 years. I can deal with the heat.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not going to deal with the heat of missing me, my friend.
Oh, that's right.
Whatever. They all come back.
All right. This is
they
my last
come
one.
Back. This is your last time. Well, until you come
you
back
awesome,
as a guest.
Man.
As a guest. Yes.
As a guest.
We're thinking about having Travis and me back on a happy
cool.
hour.
Cool. Yeah. You are awesome. You're
thank you. And you are
great.
Too.
And thank you so much for inviting me, honestly.
You're welcome.
I really
Chez fucking Pazienza. You are fucking the fucking
Pazienza.
Shit.
Thank
you are the fucking
Pazienza.
Shittiest
Pazienza.
Shit ever.
Mm-hmm. Extremely.
Goddamn Chez Pazienza. Happy fucking happy hour, everybody.
Bye-bye, folks.
Here's the Chris and Chez.